depending on the Lord's help, would ask you to turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 84, read verse 11. The 84th Psalm, read the 11th verse. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There are three things in this portion of the Word of God. Three things which are very clearly seen. The first thing is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The second thing is that which the Lord Jesus Christ will give to all that truly feel their need. And the third thing, in the last clause of this, it speaks of practical godliness, which is something very, very important. May the Lord help us thus. May his gracious help. May his gracious teaching. May his good spirit. May that holy fear of God be in our hearts as we gather here to meditate upon this precious, exceedingly precious portion of the Word of God. Many have suggested, and I've got no ground to say otherwise, that the psalmist wrote this psalm when he was in that painful place. He had to flee from his son Absalom, one spot and place in his life which was indeed an exceedingly painful path, a painful experience. And also the third psalm is a psalm he penned concerning that period of his life. Finding the third verse of the third psalm, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." But I shall not dwell here tonight on the path of David. I desire to come to speak concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ has been to our souls, and we humbly trust we can say what he still is to our souls. What the Lord Jesus Christ has been to us is something very precious, is something worthy again and again of our consideration, something to meditate upon, something to strengthen faith in our heart when we consider what he has been to our soul. There's another word linked with this scripture, and it's in the 35th Psalm, and it's in the second verse. I read these words: take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Very bold language, language of faith, living faith. Give a humble boat. Living faith walks in that truth. Find in the Hebrew letter, therefore come boldly to the throne of God's heavenly grace. The Lord God is a sign. He is something positive. He is. He is the Son of Righteousness. He is the eternal Son of God. His light penetrates into our darkness again and again. He is a shield. Now this word shield, often in scripture, is linked with the word buckler. Now this piece of armor that you read of in the Word of God, a buckler, its literal interpretation is this: it completely surrounds. I've heard people say there's no armor for the back, but a buckler gives armor right round. It completely surrounds the soul. The Lord Jesus Christ surrounds his people. He is a wall of fire round about his people. He is, the Lord God is, a sun and shield. But the following words have brought my mind to this scripture. They've been with me most of the day. The Lord will give grace and glory. And this is where I desire to come for a short time here tonight. Notice the word, it's what the Lord will do. When you read what the Lord Jesus Christ will do, be very sure of this, my dear friend, he will do. None can hinder him. None can and what doeth thou? will first consider how grace was made known to man on earth when our first parents came forth from the hand of their Maker. I often go back to the book of Genesis. I think it's very profitable to go back. Again and again, remember what God has told us concerning man being placed by God Himself on this earth. Man was made. Man was created. Man came forth from the hand of his Maker in the image of God. Created him man. Never forget it. God never produced a sinner. Never, my friend. Never. God is not the author of sin. Man came forth in God's image. Man was a fallible creature. Man did fall under Satan's powerful temptation. But man found grace. Adam and Eve found grace. God did not destroy them. God did not cut them off. You know, you read in the book of Genesis, after they had sinned, they had separated themselves from God. From their God, from their Maker, from their Creator. But you know, we read in the cool of the day, God speaks. God breaks the silence. God said, Adam, where art thou? Adam couldn't speak to God much. He was cut off. Your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. But God Himself did break the silence. But when our first parents fell in fair Eden's garden, something terrible happened. The seed of the serpent mingled with the seed of the woman. And that's what took place when Adam fell. When he was overcome by Satan's power, the seed was mingled with the seed of the woman. Man became corrupt. You see, the fruit was soon brought forth. You read of those two brothers. You read of Cain. You read of Abel. Did you know you read they both worshiped God? You read they both profess to serve God. There's a vast difference between Cain took the labor of his hand, and he was rejected. Abel took a lamb. Abel was born again. He was a born again sinner. God the Holy Ghost quickened his dead soul into life. The Lord gave Abel grace. His divine sovereignty. The Lord gave grace to Abel. The first man to be murdered. Brother slew him. His father. And I could go through the scriptures to bring forth this blessed truth. The Lord will give grace. One of the most striking hints of this is the seventh from Adam. You find a man there, and his name was Enoch. You read that Enoch walked with God. Why? The Lord give him grace. He found favor in God's sight. He was born again of the Spirit. He didn't walk with the world. He didn't walk with his generation. You cannot walk with the world and walk with God. That's not possible. You cannot serve God and mammon. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And Enoch's generation was a wicked generation. They lived very near the days of Noah. God's awful judgments did hang upon the earth in the days of Enoch. You find Enoch walked with God. We read that Noah found grace. This is something very precious, isn't it? Well, I'm coming right to you and me. The Bible's full of men, full of women, and full of their children, whom the Lord give grace. It's free. It's sovereign. It's without money. It's without price. It can never be purchased. It can never be bought. Grace is favor. The divine favor. The divine blessing. God the Holy Ghost gives it. I believe I'm speaking here tonight. I know I am. To many here, the Lord has given you grace. I don't mean he gives you a stock in hand, he never will. It's freely. As I've already said, it's without money and it's without price. Always remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ only gives you grace when you come in those places you need it. And when you come there, He gives it. This He gives us. 'Tis the Spirit's rising. I would tarry here by the Lord's gracious help tonight. The Lord will give grace. Can you go back tonight when God called you by His grace? When you was born again of the Spirit? What a glorious change. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Grace taught my soul to pray. You remember that spot where you started to pray? Mark the spot, the place, the ground where Jesus did thee meet. Mark it. Worthy of every mark. Worthy of our observation. Worthy here tonight that we should meditate upon that blessed spot where Jesus did thee meet. I was reading recently the parable of the Samaritan. It's a parable we're very accustomed to. There's some words in that parable. They was very precious to my soul. You read in that parable, you know, and he came where he was. That's the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, He comes where we are. You think of it. He comes where you are. Where are we? In that place we read of, in the 26th chapter in Matthew, you know, you read there that Jesus Christ, He went into the house of Simon the leper. You wouldn't go there, would you? Into a leper's house. That's where you was, my dear friend, when Jesus found you. He found you in your sin. He found you with a burden on your back. He found you burdened with your sin. Found you deep in debt. He found you bankrupt. You had nothing to pay. You was deep in debt. Came where you were. Think upon it. Go back. Some of you here can go back many years and Nowadays, some of you go back a few years. But whether it be many years or whether it be few, whether it be many days or months, you think about it. He came where you are. Son, the glorious Son of righteousness, did shine with healing in his wings. And there's something remarkable that takes place, you know, when the Lord comes. Before he comes, you're full of darkness, you're full of terror, you're full of fear, you're full of everything that's bad, everything that's unclean, and everything that's unholy. You're a condemned sinner. Came where you are. Can you tonight remember that blessed day or that blessed night when the Lord Jesus Christ came where you are? I'll tell you what happened. Brought love into your heart. The love of Christ. And your soul was drawn after Christ. This is grace. Free grace, sovereign grace. And your soul went out after Christ. You experience what the church of old knew again and again. Draw me. We will run after. Has your soul have been drawn after Christ? You may have heard of Christ. You may have read your Bible many times and many years. You may have done it, you may not have done it. You may have offered many prayers, or you may never have prayed at all. One day the Lord Jesus Christ came where you are. There's a great change. The light of the gospel. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine into our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is where you had a taste. This is where you had a sin of everlasting love, of everlasting mercy, of everlasting comfort, of those comforts and those enjoyments that can never, no, never end. I look back and have done many times to those blessed days when the Lord Jesus Christ did visit my troubled breast. It's the opening of an eternal day to that soul. The dawn of heaven breaks. the opening up of a blessed immortality. Things immortal, things divine, things holy, things that will never, never pass away. This is a very vital thing. This is a fundamental truth. Christ be revealed to the soul. We live in a day when these things are put in the background. We live in a day when these precious things are not proclaimed in the pulpit. That's why there's barrenness and leanness in the souls of God's people. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Nothing else will do you any good. Really? Nothing else. I'm speaking to you, dear people, here tonight about something that will do you good. The love of Christ. That's why he reveals himself. Because he has loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He draws you because he loves you. He embraces you because he loves you. But in that parable, there's another thought that much impressed my mind. Not only came where he was, he took care of him. When a soul is born again, when Christ reveals himself to a soul, he'll take care of that. Took care of you when you was dead in sin. Preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell. There should I have gone. But he does all things well. His love is great. Mercy free. We need divine preservation. The Lord doesn't leave his people to fend for themselves. He's a buckler. He's a shield. He'll stand by you. He'll relieve you. He'll comfort you. He will be the lifter up of your head. The Lord will give grace. It's the grace of hope. Very precious. I believe there are many here tonight. You know what it is to fill in your soul the grace of hope. The God-given hope. I've known what it is to walk this earth without hope. Yes, since I believe God called me by his grace, since he's revealed himself to my soul, I've known what it is to be destitute of hope, destitute of comfort. When I preach these things, Many people don't believe it. But if they never walked in, they don't. They may be good people, but I know it's true. And I know it's in the Bible. You read the book of Job. He lost all his hope. He lost all his comfort. There is hope of the truth if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. Sometimes and often, God will cut you down. I'm not talking now of the new birth. I'm not speaking of a call by grace. I'm speaking of a soul that's been favored with the presence of Christ. If you read the book of Psalms, you'll find many godly men. They travel this road. They've lost the hope. It is painful. It is very distressing. But it will sprout again. You know, if the Lord is dealing with us, you won't grow up like the giant oaks of Bashan. You won't grow up like the cedars of Lebanon, my friend. You won't grow like that. You've got to be cut down. You've got to be pruned. You've got to be stripped. God's people know this. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, prunes it, cuts it, that it may bring forth more fruit. As I move amongst some of God's people, you know, I find this, especially when they're getting older in life, they get a lot of dead wood. It's no good, you know. Dead wood's no good. I know God and I know nothing about much about it at all, but I know there comes a time when they get the knife, you know, and they cut it. You got to be know what you're doing. You don't kill it. Take out the dead wood. Now, when God deals with your soul and mind, he'll take the pruning knife. You won't like this world. You won't like this world. But it's good. It's very needful. It's very profitable. You've got a God-given hope. If you know this grace of hope, be sure that it will be tried. Grace, though the smallest, if there's such a thing as small, I wonder sometimes whether that's right. There's nothing small about the God of grace. It's very precious. As I come here tonight, I should love to have a touch. I should love a crumb of myrrh to fall into my soul from the master table. That's not small, that's precious. That's glorious, a crumb of myrrh. You ever get there? I love a crumb. I try the crumb of myrrh. Unworthy to be. Dainties such as angels have. Oh, with the children's bread. He will give grace. What does the Lord give? Well, if he's taken away all the dead wood, I hope he is. If you've got any dead wood, I hope the Lord will take it away. Either burn it up or chop it down. No good. When the Lord begins this work, when the Lord begins to humble, when the Lord begins to lay you low, when the Lord brings you down into the valley of humiliation, when the Lord lays his afflicting hand on you, psalmist said, thou layest affliction upon my loins. You go down in the valley of humiliation. There's something very precious for you. Never shall I forget when the Lord first brought me here. He laid a hand, his heavy hand, upon my physical frame. He brought me down into the valley of humiliation. This can make you tremble. Has the Lord ever made you tremble? I say the Lord makes you tremble. You wonder where you're touching it. There the Lord deals with you. He gives grace. Grace of humility. It's a wonderful word, you know. May we feel it tonight. May it enter our souls here tonight. May it be something more than me just uttering God's word with my voice. May you and I feel it. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Think of it. Grace. Grace. Do you long for it, poor soul? Do you long for it? Do you really long for it? To really humble yourself at the feet of Jesus? This is where you cast all your care upon him. Everything. I don't mind what you want. I don't mind how heavy your burden is. He'll take it. He'll take it. Take it all. He's the burden bearer of his people. Jesus is. And he gives you grace to do it. Grace to feel the sweetness, the comfort of it. To know our blessed Lord as our burden bearer. How can you and I continue in life's journey without him? Well, I cannot. I cannot move along life's journey without this glorious burden bearer. Again and again, I need him to carry my burden. Do you need him? He gives grace. He gives submission. He gives a willing mind. If there first be a willing mind, this is acceptable to God? Are you willing to be where you are? Someone may say, well, if you knew where I was, if you knew my path, if you knew my trial, if you knew my circumstance, I couldn't be willing. I don't mind where you are. Jesus can make you willing. You ever thought of the path of Jesus? Foxes of old, the birds of the air, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You've never been there, have you? I've had a few rough paths in my life, but I've always had somewhere to lay my head. Our blessed Lord had nowhere to lay his head. He spent whole nights in prayer. His locks were deep, wet with the dew of heaven. No one wandered in such a solitary, lonely path as our blessed Lord when he was on the earth. You may be in a very lonely path. May God the Holy Ghost bring you to meditate upon the path of your suffering, Lord. He had no way to lay his way. He who spake this world into existence by the word of his power, such was his love to his people, to draw this lonely wilderness world, this holy, this glorious Redeemer. The Lord will give grace. It's a promise. The Lord's promised you that he will give it to you. I repeat what I said. You must come into those places where you need it. He'll give it to you. He'll make you willing. He'll humble you under his mighty hand. He'll give it. He'll continue. Continually give grace. He'll continually make a way. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave. I will never fail. I will never forsake. He won't. He will never fail. He'll be there, my dear friend, in your every time of need. He'll give you strength to bear. He'll give you submission. He'll save you with humility. He'll give you a touch of holy love. But that's not the end of it. This is only the beginning of it. There's heaven to come. There is. There's heaven to come. It speaks of grace. And it speaks of glory. There's a hymn very precious to me last night when I was speaking. It's a hymn that speaks about that soul that's longing for immortality. It's 1081. Eternal mansion, brighterer. Oh, blessed exchange, transporting forth. Free from the approaches of decay, or the least shadow of spot. Bright world of bliss, how could I see one shining glimpse, one cheerful ray, fair dawn of immortality, break through these tottering walls of the clay. Jesus, in thy dear name I trust. My life, my Savior God, when this frail house dissolves in dust, raise me to thy brighter bed. The Lord will give grace and glory. I haven't got time to go any farther into the sun. The Lord bless his word.